Good evening. I'd like to call tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. I guess we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll do a roll call, and then we'll go from there. We'll all rise for the pledge. If you'd like to keep yourself on mute, that's fine. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Waldron.
Present. Seeking approval for the minutes for February 4th, February 18th, March 3rd, March 17th, and March 21st. Any comments on those minutes? The minutes stand approved. So we're going to move into the public comment portion of the meeting this evening, which is obviously a bit different than any other time we've done this in the history of the city. We've put a lot of work into structuring this to try to make it as close to what we've done in the past as possible. Allowing public comment is not only important to us, but also part of requirement under law. So we went back and forth with different options as far as people coming and writing in emails. And we thought that the best way to do it would be with audio, much like when people come and they speak to us and they're able to give their remarks and their inflections more accurately to their message in a way that email or text may not be able to do that. So we set up a system here with that phone number that folks are able to call in and give their remarks. Currently, I have a phone next to me, and I'll put folks on speaker. And there's a button here that's Do Not Disturb, which I haven't yet pressed. So as soon as I do that, that essentially will allow the phone lines to ring for anyone who'd like to come in, call in, and make public comment. Standard rules and structure applies as far as a 5-minute time limit. We'll have two public comment periods. The first for any subject not being voted on this evening, and the second for any resolution or ordinance that's on the agenda. So when folks call in, first thing they'll want to do is mute their YouTube view so that we don't have that background feedback noise. And then they'll be able to state their name and address and then give their comments to City Council. Myself and Mr. Callahan are here in person, and their other council members are joining us via GoToMeeting at home and can hear any remarks that are called in to City Council. So we'll start with that. That phone number is 610-997-7963. So what we'll do is we'll give it an opportunity for anybody who wants to make a remark to call in, and essentially we'll have a window when that phone stops ringing. We know that nobody else wants to make a comment. There's only about a few second lag between what we're broadcasting, what the YouTube app is showing. So we'll allow for plenty of opportunity to do that. So we're going to go live with public comment at this point. Again, our public comment phone number for tonight's City Council meeting is 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make a comment on any subject not being voted on this evening to City Council.
Anybody to the left?
I
I think he just hung up on italics.
No, not yet. He's got to call in first. So I'm just texting the phone, confirming that it is working. If anyone would like to call into Bethlehem City Council, that number is 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make a comment on any subject not being voted on this evening,
the number?
610.
Hold on a second.
You asked.
I'll just make sure. 610.
997-7963. Call from Brian Callahan.
Pick it up?
Sure.
Test.
Very good.
Mr. IT, thank you very much.
So the number, Mr. Callahan has just called, the number is working, so I would deduce that nobody wants to make any comment under first public comment. If anyone would like to make any public comment on the second comment period, which is for any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda, now would be that opportunity to do so. Again, the number is 610-997-7963. Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, this is Lynn Rothman.
Good evening.
871. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Ms. Rothman.
Okay. Thank you. 870 Watford Lane, Bethlehem. And tonight I'm speaking.
I think she needs to talk slower.
Sorry, Ms. Rothman, we lost you there. I don't know what happened. Please call back. 610-997-7963. I got an image of the audio volume icon. I do want to step up and take a look here. I'm not going to step on my toes. Be up and running here. 610-997-7963. Period into two here. If anyone wants to may comment on any subject as well as any resolution or ordinance that's on the agenda for any period. They're welcome to do so now. City Council.
Council members, Gadfly calling. I wasn't going to call tonight, but I want to make sure at least you have a chance to test this. Appreciate that you're doing this. I can see there might be some bumps the first time around. Hope some other people will call in tonight with comments or questions. Way to go for running the meeting this way. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gallagher. Hello, Ms. Rothman.
Hello. So apparently you lost me.
We did. We got your address, but that's as far as we
can. Okay. All right, well, I have my computer audio off, so I couldn't tell. I'll continue on.
Thank you.
Tonight I'm speaking on behalf of the members of Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council, Beth Barron, Elizabeth Bichonsky, Ben Felder, Ben Guthrie, Brian Nickus, and Mike Topping. And if you lose me, just wave your hand so I'll know.
Will do.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to read our letter of March 26th to City Council and copied to the mayor in support of the resolution, which was initially slated for vote on April 7th, urging the United States Congress to enact the Energy Innovation and Climate and Carbon Dividend Act. Honorable members of City Council, we are writing in strong support of the resolution coming before Council on April 7th, urging the United States Congress to enact the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019. Congresswoman Susan Wild co-sponsored H.R. 763, a bipartisan bill designed to spur clean energy development and reduce carbon pollution through the establishment of the EICD Act. As stated in the resolution, quote, in October 2018, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued a special report on the impact of global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, warning that global warming is likely to reach 1.5 degrees Celsius between 2030 and 2052 if it continues to increase at the current rate. Moreover, the United Nations Climate Science Body stated that we have only 12 years left to make significant changes to global energy production and infrastructure in order to limit global warming to moderate levels, end quote. The EAC commends our liaison, J. William Reynolds, for bringing forth this resolution and his continuing dedication to combat climate change. We advise City Council to adopt this resolution, and thank you as always for your consideration. And I'd also like to thank you, as well as the entire city staff, the mayor, and the administration for all you're doing and for your service during this difficult time.
Thank you, Ms. Rothman. There's anyone else who'd like to make a comment to Bethlehem City Council, number 610-997-7963. Thank you. was able to see that there was another caller trying to call in when Ms. Rothman was on the phone. This will be our last opportunity to make comments to Bethlehem City Council. Again, the number is 610-997-7963. Does anyone would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, as well as any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda, please call in now. This will be your only opportunity to make comment to Council. Seeing none, we will be moving on with our agenda this evening. Is there any old business for members of council? Moving to communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, reporting that the Planning Commission approved a proposed zoning text amendment ordinance at their February 13, 2020 meeting. The Commission approved the proposed ordinance with some changes, which are shown in red line attached to the memorandum. The proposed amendment amends Article 13, Section 1302.12 of the City Zoning Ordinance related to the definition of a bed and breakfast.
A motion to schedule a public hearing will be considered at a future council meeting. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with DePaul and Company Inc. for work related to the 2020 curb ramp projects. The term of the contract is 120 days. The cost is $535,100, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution approving an amended sublease agreement between the City of Bethlehem and the Appalachian Mountain Club.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from City Councilman J. William Reynolds with an attached proposed resolution related to protecting the economic security of residents and businesses during the COVID-19 public health emergency.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from City Councilman J. William Reynolds with an attached proposed resolution urging the United States Congress to enact the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with WexCon Inc. for work related to the Linden Street Storm Sewer Replacement Project. The contract term runs 90 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $229,443. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with CMR Construction, Inc. for work related to Drexel Heights Pressure Improvements Project. The term of the contract runs 90 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $153,280, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with LB Industries, Inc. for work related to the wastewater treatment plant bar screen and Detroiter replacement project. The cost is $1,494,873.65. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10K is on the agenda. Communication 6L.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Water and Sewer Resources Department is listed in the attached exhibit. The Director has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within the categories permitted for destruction.
The resolution will be placed on the May 5th agenda. Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, requesting an adjustment to the general fund with an attached proposed budget adjustment ordinance.
Ordinance 9A is on the agenda, Communication 6K.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, requesting an adjustment to the Community Development Block Grant Fund with an attached proposed budget adjustment ordinance.
Ordinance 9B is on the agenda, Communication 6L.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, requesting an adjustment to the Liquid Fuels Fund with an attached proposed budget adjustment ordinance.
Ordinance 9C is on the agenda, Communication 6M.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, requesting an adjustment to the Golf Fund with an attached proposed budget adjustment ordinance.
Ordinance 9D is on the agenda. Communication 6N.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Suburban Water Technology, Inc. for work in connection with the Shady Lane Public Well Water System Manganese Reduction Project. The term of the contract runs through December 31st, 2020, and there are currently no renewals.
Resolution 10L is on the agenda. Communication 6O.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Carner with a memorandum and attached proposed resolution. The memorandum recommends a substantial amendment to the fiscal year 2019 Community Development Block Grant Action Plan in connection with providing additional economic development support to businesses and to retain jobs that are at risk from the impacts of the COVID-19 disaster.
Resolution 10M is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. A few things on my end. I'm going to introduce Mr. Renwich to give you an update and Chief Novotny to give you an update. I wonder if I would be able to ask the clerk. I do not have administrative order for Matt Wolf in my packet. Would you be kind enough to read that, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I hereby reappoint Matthew D. Wolf, 407 Delaware Avenue, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, to the Fine Arts Commission. The appointment is effective through March 2023.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan. The roll, Mr. Cologne.
Mr. Cologne, you're on mute. Here's an opportunity, I would say. Council members should unmute for a bit.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. It passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order Number 10, I hereby appoint Angela Del Grosso, 510 East 3rd Street, Department 202, Bethlehem, to the Human Relations Commission. This appointment is effective through April of 2023.
The resolution confirmed is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. It passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 11, I hereby reappoint Michael Cologne, 1956 Ridgelawn Avenue, Bethlehem, to the Human Relations Commission. This appointment is effective through March 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Mr. Klon?
I just wanted to say I'll be abstaining from the vote for myself. Thank you.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Pardon me. Hold on. Sorry. I'm sorry. Dr. Van Wert?
I just wanted to say I thank Mike for stepping up. I appreciate it. Thanks.
No clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order Number 12, I hereby reappoint Christopher Spadoni, 608 Melrose Avenue, Bethlehem, to the Redevelopment Authority Board. Appointment is effective through March 2025.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Let me give you a little bit of a summary that I'm certain Ms. Winrich and Chief Devotnik. I mean, we've had two press conferences, one by way of the media, questions were submitted. Second one from the citizens, they submitted about 60 questions. But I really want to thank, first of all, the citizens of Bethlehem during these trying times. It's really a great example of community spirit. They've made close to 1,000 masks for our city workers, and we certainly appreciate it because many people go through very challenging and difficult times. But I also want to thank the city workers, all the department heads. They've done an outstanding job, especially police, fire, EMS, and Kristen and the chief here have really been working on fumes. To be very honest with you, they have been working 7 days a week, and I certainly appreciate that. I also want to, again, thank the public for their cooperation with some of the decisions that we've made, and also the great cooperation that we've received from Lehigh County and Northampton County and the colleges of the Bethlehem School District and the two hospitals. We constantly are in communication with them. I really want to commend them for their partnership with the city during these challenging times. Did provide a, Mr. Evans is watching, if you have any questions, submit to City Council a financial update of the city's finances. We did get good news last week from Wind Creek that they intend to make their quarterly payments, and that's a plus. Needless to say, is we don't know how long this is going to be going, and we know we will take a hit financially. But the stormwater program that we were planning on implementing in July 1 of this year now will be postponed until January of 2021. Because of the cease on construction, it's unlikely that we'll open Memorial Pool this year, but we'll make the final decision on that within the next week to 2 weeks. It is our intention to open up the pools, though. We're discussing internally whether to open up three pools or four pools, and should we go with the regular schedule or have a little bit more of a concise schedule. We're also in communication with our sister cities, and I think right now we definitely are leaning towards opening the pools. We do have a hiring freeze, and the mayor is the only person that will be able to hire someone during this difficult period that we have here. We did make some changes. The Public Works Department and the Water Department are basically, rather than staggered shifts, we decided to go two shifts, 7 to 3 and 3 to 11, and that's been very, very effective. I think we're the only city around here that basically went to two shifts, and I want to thank the unions and everyone for agreeing to do that. I think as of today, the chief will address this. I think all the city workers now have at least two masks, and we certainly have more masks ever being made. And again, I really want to thank the public for their cooperation. We are continuing street cleaning. I know there was some confusion about that, but street cleaning is continuing throughout the city, 7 to 3. But the street cleaning regarding the parking authority, moving their cars, and if now you get a ticket, that has ceased. And basically, the garages have been open. People are parking there for free. No one's being ticketed throughout the city. Meters are free, except if there's a violation of public safety, for example, parking in front of a fire hydrant. We extended, and the governor made reference to this today, but we did this a few weeks ago, the earned income tax and the business privilege tax to July 15. We extended the real estate tax with a discount up until May 11th, and we extended payment for the home real estate tax from May 29th to August the 10th. We understand these are very difficult and challenging times for many people, so we're trying to really show some compassion here, and we made that decision. My council was informed of it probably, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I issued a press release this afternoon that effective tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, the compost center will open. Not the recycling center, but the compost center will open from 9 to 3, but the public must wear masks, and the workers will wear masks, but it will only be for drop-offs. So people wishing to utilize the facility are required to wear a mask for the safety as well as the safety of city employees. People that are not wearing masks will not be permitted to enter. But there'll be no loading of mulch or compost materials. There will only be accepting drop-offs. I received quite a few calls. In fact, that was the most popular question submitted to me when we had the press conference last week. And I know many people are at home cleaning their yards. We've had a few wicked storms where many trees came down and branches, and I think this is just the right thing to do. Open the yard waste center, the compost center, beginning tomorrow. And but it will only be for drop-offs, no picking up mulch or compost at this time. On the financial end, just making a few additional points. This was going to be a bond year, where we usually take out a bond between $5 and $6 million. Discussions with Mr. Evans, and we will be more than happy to discuss some of these points with him more depth in the future. We'll probably put the bond off until 2021, 2022, and defer between $5 and $6 million of capital spending until next year. The other question that was very popular last week was on Music Fest. As of today, no decision's been made regarding Music Fest for 2020. We met with Music Fest this morning, Mr. Evans, Ms. Carter, and myself, and they're evaluating everything on their financial end too, and they're evaluating all their programs for the rest of the year. We don't know what the governor's policy will be post April 30th regarding sporting events and concerts and large gatherings. So we are in communication. We're meeting weekly, but as of today, no decision has been made. We've always had a very good partnership with ArtsQuest and Cassie Hoger, and Music Fest is very important to the city. It's very important for many of the vendors who basically, by being at Music Fest financially and in the black because of the 10-day festival, but we have to really be concerned about public safety and the health of the public. So as of today, no decision has been made, but we there'll be a point when a decision and an announcement will be made in the future. Financially, too, just one or two additional points, and I'll turn to Ms. Winrich. I think that, you know, the city of Bethlehem, as of today, we have about 18 to 20 vacancies. I don't have the list in front of me. And because of the great cooperation between the administration and city council over the last 7 years, we've made tremendous improvements, building up our total fund balance, putting more tablets out there with the workers, and making people, you know, cross-train. And I think our financial position is much better than some of our surrounding sister cities. And but we're looking at all the options. We're looking at the options. If we do have to furlough people, that would be the absolute last decision I would make. They would have to really be dire straits for that to move. We've asked our workers to do a lot of work, and especially with the unemployment, it really would not be much of a win for the city financially with the way the federal government set up the special unemployment compensation. But we are at a point watching our finances. We certainly are looking at the rest of the year financially. We're already looking at the 2021 budget. And so we've made some decisions already pertaining to the rest of the year and possibly into 2021. So with that, I'd like to ask Ms. Winrich to give an update on her end. She's done an outstanding job along with the chief. We're very fortunate to have them here. And so, Kristen, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mayor. The Bethlehem Health Bureau continues to investigate all positive cases of COVID-19 in our jurisdiction. We determine all the close contacts. I know there's a lot of discussion nationally and statewide about contact tracing. That's something that we continue to do for all of our positive cases. So we work to identify those close contacts and assist the individual in notifying those close contacts so they can be placed in quarantine. We currently, and this is as of yesterday's numbers on April 20th, we have 376 cases of COVID-19 and 3 deaths in the city of Bethlehem. We did have our data displayed. We were working with Wayne Wassler, our GIS manager, on a map. We're now transitioning that into a data dashboard. So the data that I'm going to go over here tonight will be in a data dashboard. We had the first draft completed today. We're going through to make sure that our calculations are accurate and working, and we hope to have that displayed publicly, and that will be updated on a daily basis. So just some important things to note. So out of the 376 cases, 39 of those individuals have been hospitalized. So we're about 10%, and that's what we're seeing statewide. About 10% of the cases are being hospitalized. We have a little over a 20% positivity rate. So we're able to look at all the negative tests as well as the positive tests and to figure out that positivity rate. So we're a little over 20% in Bethlehem, which again is comparable to what the state is seeing, the state rate. We're also looking at our demographic data, so that can provide some better insight in order to look at what's occurring in Bethlehem if we need to do any additional education or outreach to certain groups. As of yesterday, 45.7% of our cases were non-Hispanic, and 39.3% were Hispanic, and 14.8% were unknown. 66% of our cases were white, 12.5% of our cases African-American, 1.6% Asian, 5.5% were other race, and 13.3% were unknown. We're continuing to work with key community leaders to provide education for specific populations in our city, including the African American and Latino population. As you can see from the data, we do have a significant amount of Hispanics that are our cases. And although 12.5% of our cases are African American, they're hospitalized about at 25% when we're looking at all of our hospitalizations. So those are definitely two groups. And again, that's been nationally and statewide, groups that they're looking at reaching out to because we are seeing some health disparities. When looking at our data by age distribution, our community has a higher percentage of COVID positive cases falling in the younger age group, the 25 to 49 year old age group, as compared to the state. As well as with hospitalization. So we're seeing our rates a little bit higher in that age group. Our average age for cases is 46.9 in the city of Bethlehem. It's also important to note that we're starting to see quite a bit of household infection. The Department of Health classifies symptomatic household contacts of a lab-confirmed COVID case as a probable case without doing lab testing. So at this point, if somebody in a household tests positive, if they have a household member that becomes symptomatic, they're not recommended for testing, but then they're counted as a probable case. So when we're initially doing our interviews with cases, we're asking about symptomatic household members, and then we also are conducting follow-ups within a certain time period of all of our positive cases to see how they're feeling, determine if hospitalizations occurred, and then we're also again asking about symptomatic household contacts. I can tell you that's something that's not being done statewide, but we felt that it was important because that is something that's now being entered into the case count. So we are looking at our probable cases as well as our confirmed cases. Additionally, those with mild symptoms are not recommended to get tested. So I know that there's been a lot of discussion as far as where our numbers are and the flattening of the curve. And the State Department is pleased to see that the rates aren't growing as fast as they once had been when we're looking at daily case counts. Statewide, they have been doubling every few days at one point, and that isn't the case anymore. But the one thing to caution is our testing numbers have also decreased. The Valley Health Network have put in testing criteria, I believe it was last week, so they're looking at really testing certain priority groups because of a shortage of tests. So they're looking at 65 and older, looking at people with chronic complicated conditions to do testing. And then if you factor in now that household contacts who are symptomatic aren't getting tested, of course, your testing numbers will come down. Throughout this outbreak, we continue to work with the nonprofit sector to make sure that the needs of vulnerable populations, such as the elderly and homeless, are addressed. As was mentioned before in previous press conferences, portable toilets and hand washing facilities have been placed near the homeless encampments. In addition, we work to secure hotel space for homeless individuals who need to be isolated or quarantined. We're currently working with both Lehigh Valley Health Network and St. Luke's to medically monitor these individuals. Currently, right now, we have one City of Bethlehem homeless person that is currently placed under isolation. We're also collaborating with New Bethany Ministries and the Comfort Suites to implement some mitigation strategies for the homeless population in an effort to control COVID-19, the spread of COVID-19 in the community. So we're working with New Bethany to provide some transitional housing to ensure that families and individuals can have access to space, socially distance, and self-quarantine as well. Over the last 2 weeks, we have started to see an increase in the number of outbreaks in long-term care facilities. We currently have three outbreak situations. One of those facilities has transferred the patients out, so we're now dealing with two long-term care facilities that currently have outbreaks. The Department of Health did hire a consulting firm, ECRI, to handle infection control measures and work with these facilities. So we have been serving as a liaison and trying to connect all of our long-term care facilities to this resource, but specifically these two. And one did have a virtual call on Friday, and they did see some important things to note that that should be worked on. So they're in current consultation with the one facility, and then we're in the process of connecting the other facility to this consultation firm. Lastly, we've assigned staff to follow up on calls from employees complaining about potential COVID-19 exposures at their workplace. That is really the most frequent call that we're receiving in the Health Bureau, is really just employees concerned about some of their conditions at their work site. Any complaint we get, I have a staff person assigned, and they're doing all follow-up on complaints, contacting those businesses, providing education on mitigation efforts, and making sure that they're aware of the current guidance. And with that, I can open it up to questions.
Well, thank you, first of all, for that presentation, but all the work that you've done thus far in your team and department, but also what's ahead of you. There's been a lot of talk about whether we're at the peak of the outbreak, and I might ask that in the form of a question, but when we're at the peak of the outbreak, that would mean that we're still halfway to go as far as what the infection rate and hospitalization and deaths would be, and that's barring all the social distancing that folks have to gone through so far. So there's clearly a long way to go, not necessarily weeks or even months. Some of the information that I've looked at has been talking about there's going to be some form of social distancing in some version of what we've been working through over the past weeks until there's a usable vaccine, because this is something that's just not going to go away over time. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you think, at least here locally, and the timeline would be within the city. I mean, the big question that on everyone's mind is when are things going to open up and when will things get back to normal? But the new normal looks something kind of like this room, and what you're seeing out in the streets when you walk around and there's just not people around. It's a really scary and depressing time for a lot of individuals and a lot of families, and people are turning to question the reality of the information that they're getting. So when we're able to have these conversations, I think it's really helpful to folks to hear what the data is showing and what experts who are thoughtful and knowledgeable about their presentation and the message that they're bringing to the public, what their thoughts are. So I would wonder, the big question at this point is, what do the next few weeks and months look like in the city of Bethlehem, in your opinion?
So as I said earlier, one of the concerns is just as far as testing, because our overall number of tests has gone down. And when you have healthcare networks that are now changing their criteria as far as who they can test, you're not obviously going to have as many cases. So there is concern, statewide, federally, about getting enough tests and getting enough people tested. As I said, we're committed to trying to follow up and get the probable case count, but that's not being done just because of the public health infrastructure across the state. So it's a little bit difficult. We're relying on these numbers, but again, when you're throwing probable cases and you're not testing people, some health departments can't do the contact tracing. So when you don't have all those components together, it's a little bit difficult to see what the true number is. As far as the peak, last week was kind of when we heard that was the target time frame for that peak. Our cases, I can say here in Bethlehem, have been a little bit sporadic. Over the weekends, we might get 5 cases, 7 cases, Saturday or Sunday, and then Monday, then we'll get, 30. So we've been a little bit up and down. We've been in the 30s, and we've been down as low as 5. From the Secretary of Health standpoint, she's really looking for a sustained trend, because the statewide numbers have been a little bit up and down as well. Over the Easter holiday weekend, the cases dropped, and a few days later, then they went back up. There is a mass testing site that's opening up at the Mohegan Sun, or just opened up. So now you're going to have more tests that will be done. Philadelphia and Montgomery County had testing sites, so that was increasing the number of overall tests and positives that were happening. So as you have this, it's a very fluid situation. You have more mass testing sites, more testing being done, you'll start to see more positives.
And those changes locally in the criteria of not testing the probable cases, is that just access to the test?
Yes. Yeah, the state made that decision. That was put out in their guidance. LBHM was having a difficult time as far as securing test kits. I know that they have been in conversations with the Department of Health, whether or not they're going to change that criteria based on getting additional tests. I'm not really sure at this point. The other thing that's important to note, talking to my counterpart in Allentown, their cases are through the roof and a lot higher than what we are. Yesterday when I was on a call with the United Way, there were some state representatives on that call, and they're treating this when we reopen. Governor Wolf has stated we're going to reopen region by region, even though our case counts might not be as extreme as Allentown or what Lehigh County is seeing. Our region will be lumped together when we're looking at reopening the state.
And what would those criteria look like to reopen a region?
Well, they're looking at incidence rates. Right now, Lehigh County has the number one incidence rate in the state. So they'll be looking certainly at the case counts, at death rates as well.
And those numbers don't obviously have to get to zero, but they have to plateau to it.
Correct. So you're looking northeast and southeast right now are the two regions in the state when you're looking at number of cases, incidence rates that are at the highest.
It seems that Bethlehem is faring fairly well as far as some of the averages that you were referencing.
We are.
Statewide, at least.
Yeah. The one thing, as I was saying with the case counts, we're definitely seeing that younger population, and with the hospitalizations, we're seeing that more in the younger population than statewide, so that's obviously a concern.
Is there any driver in your mind that could cause that?
We're not really sure. There's nothing that we're seeing at this point. We're in the process, though, of analyzing data, so that's something that could come out over the next few weeks.
Understood. Thank you. At this point, I'll turn to Mr. Callahan because he's in the room, and then other members of council if they have any questions or comments. Mr. Callahan.
Chris, I just want to thank you and Mr. Novotnika. This has been a very difficult time for rebuilding the city and the state and the United States. I think it's really important. I also want to compliment the mayor and all his staff members for going through this difficult time. I think it's pretty comforting to our citizens that they see the functionality of the basic city services is continuing as best as it can with all the issues that are that we're being confronted with right now. So I just want to thank all of you for all your hard work and dedication to our residents. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Mr. Klum?
Thank you. Kristen, real quick, what was the total number of positive cases here in Bethlehem?
376, and that was as of yesterday. And hopefully with the dashboard, the goal is as of noon each day, we'll be updating the case count, so that should be daily updates.
And that does count resident nursing homes, correct?
Correct. Any resident in the city of Bethlehem.
And do you have a rough number of how many positive cases Allentown has? I know, just for comparison, obviously their population's greater than ours, but you said their cases are pretty
high. I know they're well over 1,000. I'm not sure the exact number off the top of my head.
Understood. Thank you, and thank you to you and all your staff for all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Of course.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Kristen, again, I just want to repeat, thank you so much. I can't even imagine all you're going through and how hard you're working, but we really appreciate it. I think I'm speaking for myself as well as everyone in the community. We really appreciate all your hard work. I just had a couple of questions, and again, you're the expert. I'm just trying to throw things out there to try to wrap my head around this better. As far as the cases go, are you seeing any pockets as far as geographical areas within the city where there's higher cases that are positive that maybe are concerning because of whatever the demographics of those particular areas?
We're working on a heat map right now. That's part of the data dashboard. Certainly, the two areas that have the nursing home outbreaks are certainly areas of concern, but that's just because of the number of patients in those nursing homes. But other than that, I haven't seen anything as far as geographic trending, but that is something that we're working on and should have available this week.
Okay, great. My only other question is, when you talked about the contact tracers, I was in a webinar and they were speaking about that, and I'm wondering, I'm assuming that's a lot of time and effort as far as doing that and following up. Are you okay as far as manpower with doing that at this point in time? And do you foresee that could be a problem in the future with having enough human resources to do the contact tracing?
We are fine right now because we've reassigned staff, so they're helping our nurses conduct the investigations. The Allentown Health Bureau Director, Vicki Kistler, and I have been having conversations with the two healthcare networks because they are willing to provide us with some of their furloughed workers if need be. At this point, we don't need that resource, but it's there if and when we need it.
Okay, great. That's awesome. I know the one thing they spoke about, and this was a doctor from John Hopkins, about, you know, we have med students doing it now, but he foresees that in the future we could need more people to do it. And I was thinking, like, you know, he mentioned, like, graduate students in the health sciences within the local colleges. I just was wondering, you know, wanted to throw that out there. Is that a possibility? Because I do know a lot of people that are in grad school that, you know, their internships are sort of, you know, on hold at this point because they can't have that contact person to person.
That could certainly be a possibility. You certainly need somebody that's, you know, educated and that you can train, because it does take a certain specialty to be able to do contact tracing and interviewing. But at this point, if need be, we'd look at all options.
Okay, great. Thanks again. Again, keep up the great work and take care of yourself and your staff.
Any other members of council have questions or comments for Ms. Winrich? Thank you again. That's all we have for this evening.
Okay. I would like to say thank you to my staff publicly. You know, although I'm working 7 days a week, I have many staff members that are also working 7 days a week, and they've been doing a phenomenal job, and, you know, especially my management team. It's definitely a team effort working on this outbreak, and I certainly want to recognize them as well. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to touch on a couple of topics, and I'll start off with the supply chain. The supply chain is strong for Bethlehem, whether it's the N95 masks or the surgical masks or the cloth masks that we have. Our EMS personnel are fully staffed and funded. They've been doing a phenomenal job under the direction of Tom Decker. We've had only one city employee that tested positive, and it wasn't in public safety, it's from another department. But that is a tribute to those guys that are out on the front lines of EMS and fire and police. So to have no one else test positive from those ranks is really pretty impressive for the city of Bethlehem. The police department, the calls are down for police and fire, but the calls are a little slower. They're working them in slow motion. Some of the folks, upon arrival, they're given instructions to stay 6 feet away and to get more information, and how they're going to follow up. It's a little bit different than it used to be. It's not up close and personal anymore, unless the police have to do that. But most of the times they keep their distance, the social distancing, and that's working really well. Folks seem to understand it. Their Bethlehem folks are cooperating with the police upon arrival. That's working really well. Fire department, they've been out on calls. They're backing up our EMS. EMS is only committing one paramedic to the building to survey the situation, see what's going on. Instead of, in the past, they'd have two go in with the fire guys. They step back a little bit and see what they have going on. They assess the situation and they deem what's appropriate, how to handle the call. So public safety functioning really well, fully staffed, not sick leave, nothing happening there. Like, fully staffed, they're doing a great job. Police, fire, and EMS, really proud of how they're working it out. On the other side, Lehigh County, Northampton County, they've been great partners with us. Whether it comes to equipment, N95 masks or surgical masks, they've been a big help with us. If we burn through, it's called the burn rate. If we use 100 masks, within 2 or 3 days, I get 100 replaced from Northampton County. That's where I work with right now, but if I couldn't get it from Northampton County, Lehigh County would also help us out. But everything's working really well with Northampton County. I give them a lot of credit up there. They're on top of it. We talk daily, even on the weekends, 7 days a week this job is now. So that's working out really well with both counties. I want to address the other topic would be just masks in general for the public that's watching. You do not need surgical masks or N95s. You need a cloth mask. We're trying to save all the surgical masks and N95s for patient care. So just like the mask I'm wearing now and that I see a lot of folks in here wearing, that's what they really need to wear out in public and honor the social distancing of the 6 feet. That's very, very important for everyone. For Police Chief DeLuzio, he's not here tonight, of course. In touch with him daily, and Deputy Meitzel, about his folks, how they're adhering to how they're doing their job in the public. There's no really big issues going on, just a typical, some domestics are up a little bit, most of the calls are down. The service center down below is busy though. We're getting a lot of complaints for businesses that don't have people masking inside, and we're doing follow-ups on those, phone calls made to some of those businesses, by the health department or by the zoning department, just checking in to see what's going on at those businesses, because it's evolving yet. We're all figuring this out. It's uncharted waters here a little bit. We're trying to follow the CDC guidelines and the Department of Health when it comes to those topics. The other one, continuity of government, just so you guys know, everything's working well under Mayor Donches here. There's two or three deep at every position. Everything's being answered and addressed in a timely manner. We have meetings on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in this room right here. We're observing all the rules, and everything's going really well. If someone can't answer a question, they have someone right behind them. So that's working out rather well. So continuity of government is very important at this time. Daily changes. Chris, you could hear this. Every time we see something new, every two or three days, there seems to be another change coming either out of Harrisburg or from the Department of Health, and we're adapting to them on a daily basis. Christian, they go through those conferences that they have, the phone conferences, which are very important, and changes are made. Even now, our guidelines here at City Hall to mask and do the social distancing is working. So I got to give a lot of credit to the cleaning crews that come in here and take care of City Hall. To have no one in here test positive is really a plus for all of our workers here in the city, under the guidance of Mike Alcohol. At this time, I'll take any questions that you guys have.
Well, again, thank you, Mr. Novotnik. Obviously, you're kind of burning the candle at both ends, making sure that things are functioning as close to normal as they can. And it seems like the impact within City Hall here has been relatively minimal. You have a workforce of 600 and you have one positive test that doesn't spread out. I think that is exactly what you're saying, a testament to the social distancing and the practices that folks are taking within the city to make sure that they are not infecting others potentially. And to kind of parlay into that mask wearing, what you're talking about, I think the point needs to be driven home a bit more, even so, that the mask is not for your individual protection as the wearer, it's for the protection of everyone around you. Because there, you know, has been more than a little data showing that you can be a non-symptomatic carrier, potentially spreading the virus and not knowing it. So that's the reasoning for the mask wearing, which again, I think will be the new normal for quite some time as we figure out what our community is going to have to do to respond to make sure that we as individuals are staying safe, as well as the people around us that we're interacting with. As much as you want to hole up in your house, there's essentials that you need to leave to go out into the world, and there's little minor interactions that you're going to have with folks. So taking those precautions of social distancing, mask wearing, and hand washing, obviously you can't really do enough of those things. So. I'm glad to hear that that's all happening in the city, within City Hall specifically, and I feel comfortable and confident that there is a plan that was laid out years in advance. Many things were thought of, and the things that we haven't thought of, we're making them up as we go, because everything is a limited resource at this time, from the mask that you're talking about, to time and energy, to manpower. All those things need to be managed as best they can, and it seems like that's happening currently within the city. So thank you for implementing the emergency plan in a way that I'm sure you never envisioned that you would have to.
I made a change to it already. I used to talk about police, fire, and EMS being public safety, along with our 911 center, which Northampton County does now, but I've learned for this whole episode so far is that there are four parts to it. It's police, fire, EMS, and our health department. If we didn't have this health department functioning at full throttle here, I don't know how we'd be getting this done. They have been wonderful to work with, giving me advice through Christian and her staff, giving the mayor advice, and following through on every patient and every detail, which you wouldn't see if you didn't have a health department. I admire all the work that they're doing, everyone and their staff. They've come through for me. And I have questions. I was a fireman for years, and then I took this job. But they have the answers to stuff that I don't have the answers to, and I can't say enough. Police, fire, EMS, and the health department. Now there's four parts again to public safety. Critical.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. And clearly, all the world keeps turning to within this pandemic that we're all facing. There are other health concerns. There are other medical emergencies that are still requiring attention and still getting that attention within the city. So we would like to thank you for that as well. Again, I'll turn to Mr. Callahan and then other members of council if they'd like to have any questions or comments for Mr. Novotny.
No, I just want to thank you for all your work that you've done, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Any members of council who would like to make comment or question to Mr. Novotny? Thank you again.
Okay, thank you guys for everything. Appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, at this time, I don't know if you'd like to keep Mr. Novotny or Ms. Windrush around, for our agenda purposes, I don't see any other reason that they need to be here. So I think minimizing exposure as well as allowing them some much needed rest is a good idea. So we'd like to excuse them.
We have an early meeting tomorrow, so thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us this evening in person.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, do you have anything else that you'd like to add or that we've talked about?
Just to paraphrase, it's really heartwarming to see the city workers really go beyond the call of duty and the great cooperation we've had from all the entities and from the public. Like I said, you know, we have 1,000 masks that have been made and more coming. It's just great. You know, this is what Bethlehem is really all about. And we're very fortunate that we, as of today, knock on wood, we only have one positive in the city. I don't know if you would have asked me that question 6 weeks ago if I would have given you that answer once. I think we've been very fortunate, but we're working very hard at sanitizing everything constantly, and it's paid off so far, so hopefully we will continue.
Thank you. Is there anything else members of council would like to add before we continue on with our agenda? All right, moving on to ordinances for final passage this evening, Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adding Article 1738 of the Codified Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem related to residential rental units. Bill 6, 2020 is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Any discussion? Mr. Reynolds, obviously it's been a while since we last had this conversation. I don't even remember the first reading of this, but here we are again. So I'll first turn to Mr. Reynolds for any comments.
I have two questions. One is just how the hiring freeze would potentially delay, or if the hiring freeze includes the positions that are included in here, as well as is the program going to be delayed because of the current crisis going on.
I think Ms. Carter could answer the question about the administrative person, how much work's been done. But in answer to the hiring freeze, those would be the only two positions that once we're ready to move, I would move forward on it. So I would not delay those two positions, let's say to January 1st, they pay for itself in a sense. So if we're ready to move, those are the only two positions out of ones that are vacant within the city, I think about 20 or so, that I would move on.
Ms. Carter, did you want to answer the second half of that?
I'm sorry. So the administration person, the mayor had asked me to comment on that. The administrative person has been hired and was hired in advance to help organize. That was something that was funded in the 2020 budget. And so she's been working to gather the data and outline the plan in which we're going to reach out to those residential units that will be first in the first year of licensing and inspection. I do want to note that we cannot currently go into properties to inspect unless there's an emergency circumstance, and that would be under the building code section. So all of the housing inspections have been suspended for the time being, and so certainly bringing people on would be at a point in which we're allowed to go in and do those inspections again and issue those COs.
Did we have a date by which we wanted to launch these the new inspections?
We can start at any point. It can be a rolling process. We had actually wanted, when we had sent it to council, I think last year, had hope we could get it implemented for the beginning of 2020. It probably was a good thing in retrospect that it got delayed because of this inability to go in and do the inspections. So with the work that we're doing administratively, we can kick it off, and we have separated the city by ward and precinct, basically, and have identified on a monthly basis which ones will get notification for licensing, and then the inspections come behind that, probably at a 6 week or so interval.
Okay, and then my last question is just, I think we've all probably seen the generic kind of like your thoughts on just our residential market in general. I think we've seen the data that, you know, something like 67% of renters or something made their rental payment for April, when generally that number is somewhere in like 84%, 85%, 86%. Do you think that as the year goes on, we start to see some of those longer term economic consequences, that it's going to have an effect on both the quality of our rentals and the ability of landlords to keep up with the codes, that obviously we need them to provide safe housing for people who often are unable to advocate for themselves. But I was just looking to see if you guys had thought ahead at all about any type of general potential conclusions for what this could mean for the rental situations in Bethlehem.
I believe that the quality of housing becomes more important, particularly if we have a growing low to moderate income population. If when you have a catastrophic event like this pandemic impacting families, the quality of housing that they live in becomes more and more important. I think that far too often we believe it's okay to allow poor people to live in substandard housing, and I have a completely different philosophy on that. I think it is a basic human right to have a code-compliant property, and so there is no right for a landlord to make money off of a property, right? Like, that's not an inherent right. I do believe, though, it's a right for housing. And so that puts us in a position of needing to go above and beyond to ensure that families have adequate, safe housing. And so if that group of people in the city grows, it becomes more important for us to get into those properties and ensure that compliance.
I agree with Ms. Carner. I think, though, that we are going to see landlords that some, not all, but I think we will see some landlords, if they're relying on rental income on a month-to-month basis as an income source rather than a long-term investment. I think we as a city, and I share the same goal that Ms. Carner mentioned, I think we as a city need to be prepared for for just an increased kind of focus on making sure that we are keeping all of our housing code up to, or our housing stock up to code, because I think people will see more, it'll be more difficult for some people to be able to keep these, our housing stock up to code with the economic recession or whatever that we're likely entering into. So I think that this is the right thing. I think we just need to be vigilant about making sure that people continue to have safe places to live in the city of Bethlehem.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Ms. Carter, you talked a little bit about the fact that we're not doing any inspections currently. What is the metric for when those inspections can start again?
So what we're asking for anybody who has assumed a property as is, whether that was a result of a sale or the result of a move as a rental unit, to accept that property as is and to call us, and within 30 days of our ability to go out and do an inspection, so we can schedule that inspection. We do know we're going to receive a lot of phone calls, a lot of pent-up demand for inspection. So while we don't expect that inspection to necessarily be completed within 30 days, we'd like the phone call within that 30 days so that we can set it up.
Understood. And is there a criteria to let you know when those inspections can start again?
So transfers of sales are the easiest way to monitor. First of all, it's the governor that put the stay on the inspection.
That was my question, I guess.
Yeah. So once the governor allows the inspections to occur, we can go out and do that.
And I imagine that is one of the lower tier essential functions?
It's hard to know. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about construction, and certainly there's a difference. I don't want to confuse you with talking about code construction and then our rental and sale inspections in the housing bureaus. But there's been a lot of pressure placed on construction, and it's sometimes hard to separate those. So I do suspect that it's going to be less about where on the spectrum that is and more about where we are located. As Kristen had mentioned earlier, we're in a hot spot, and so I suspect we'll be trailing behind. Even if other areas are allowed to go out and do housing inspections, we may not be able to initially.
And on that topic, is the city currently doing any new building inspections?
The only inspections that we're doing are for those construction activities that have received a waiver from the state DCD office that are medical related. So medical supply chain was granted an exemption under Homeland Security and emergencies. So if you wake up and your hot water heater has exploded overnight, we can issue you an emergency permit to replace the hot water heater. We have done a couple of those.
Understood.
But we have to report to the Commonwealth every month the permits we issue. And so we have certainly been, you know, there's been a lot of question about whether or not we could, you know, just tell people the permit is issued and, you know, kind of go back and formally issue it later. And, you know, unfortunately, with that reporting system that we use, it's not possible.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Ms. Carner? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Ms. President. Ms. Carner, so when the inspections do start to ramp up, is there any type of priority that we're going to give to, like, an initial month or 2 months? I think what we, and I don't know if everybody else agrees with me or not, I think what we need to do, and my main concern right now, and I'm sure it's on the minds of everybody, the mayor, the county execs, the governors, is to get our economy back up and running and getting people back to work and getting, you know, money in their pockets. So I would hope that, so the people that are moving in right now, they are accepting the apartment as is until the inspection can be done, correct?
Yes.
So when the inspections do get ramped up and start again, is it possible, or would you suggest that we do new construction and smaller construction projects like patios, decks, things that, you know, small businessmen are doing? I mean, I would hope that we, in the first month of the startup, that we concentrate on the inspections and the permits to get people back to work, you know.
So they're two entirely different kinds of inspectors. The residential inspectors are not state certified. So they're not the folks that are going to go out and inspect your foundation or your new patio or deck that you built onto your house. Those are the code officials. And they continue to work under emergency basis and on those projects that are underway that are eligible for construction. The housing inspectors is an entirely different group. They could not go out and do those inspections you're referring to get the economy going. They are specifically geared to doing existing buildings that are predominantly residential in nature for tenants, for sale inspections, for regulated rental, rooming houses, those kind of inspections.
All right. And then how about the new construction? That's just a totally different inspector.
Totally different inspector. Right. They're state certified. They're not, and actually they're, it's the, they're nationally certified in some instances.
Any other comments or questions for Ms. Carner relating to Bill 06, Ordinance 8A? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert? Dr. Van Wert?
Paige is giving us a visual cue.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Dr. Van Wert, you're on mute there. I don't know if that was the issue. Moving on to new ordinances for final passage, Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 General Fund Budget. Bill 9-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Working now, aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 10-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Pardon me. Mr. Reynolds?
I guess if Ms. Carner could just kind of talk. I believe this is the $800,000 that we're getting through the CARES Act for CDBG. And if she could just kind of talk about the process that we're going to see over the next however long for us to come up with a plan for how we're going to spend the funds.
Yes, this is the funding that we're getting as an entitlement community for, they're calling it CDBG COVID or CV. We were made aware of this and sent it to council almost immediately. It's a bit of an evolving situation. There's constant guidance from HUD. We're on conference calls. There's another one on Friday to talk about how we go about presenting this plan to HUD. We know that we are allowed to work through an abbreviated process. We request waivers to the standard 30-day period and the standard public comment period. We will need to publicly advertise a plan for 5 days and then bring it to council, have, you know, an ad, the things that we typically do, and bring it to council for resolution. We're evaluating what we can do with these funds. As you know, is what's on the agenda later this evening is a small business grant program. We are kicking around other ideas that may relate to rental or mortgage assistance. It might involve greater business assistance. Everything, though, has to go to addressing impacts associated with COVID. None of those additional funds can be used for any of the other CDBG-eligible programs. And so largely, assessing need within our community is, I would categorize the phase that we're currently in. Because it seems as if HUD wants the plan for all of those funds at one time, we will present a plan to you for all of those funds at that time. Does that answer your question?
It does. So do we have to spend all of the money in 2020? Or is that not... Do we have to plan to spend all the money in 2020? Or do we have to spend all the money in 2020? Do we know if there's any limitations there?
So there's some question about the receipt of those funds, when exactly we're going to get them. At first, we were under the impression they were going to be delivered or at least accessible immediately. Then it was appeared to be later in this year when we typically receive our allocation, which kind of threw a wrench into anything we wanted to do to address the current crisis. We are now hearing from HUD that they may make those funds available to us a little more immediately. It is targeted for the 2020 year. Our goal will be to spend those funds quickly. There is a significant state allocation that, despite being an entitlement community, if we can show need, and I believe that as an affected community, we will be able to show need, we will be able to access even the state funds, which isn't the norm. So I would advocate to spend those monies and try to access additional funding.
And the last thing I would say is $800,000 is a lot of money. And I think that obviously we're dealing with a situation here where everyday regulations that generally we have to follow are getting waived or whatever it might be. So I think keeping council in the loop as far as both when we find out exactly when that money is coming to us, even if it's not a situation that's something that's on the council agenda, I think is a necessity. And I also just think that, you know, we need to, I don't know if we're going to have a lot of different pots of money to be able to spend on things related to COVID. It hasn't come through in either one of the stimulus passed in Washington. It didn't get into the one that they closed on today, or they're closing on today. So I just think that, you know, we need to kind of really take focus on these funds and the potential for what they can do throughout the community. Thank you.
Ms. Negron?
Yes, thank you, President Waldron. I just want to, and I'm sure you have this in your mind, Ms. Carmel, but I heard from small businesses in our community, and I'm saying restaurants, nail salons, hair salons, barbershops, that they're not being able to tap the incentive that have been passed down through the governor, through the federal government and to the state. And they might not need as much money as a bigger company might, but they still need help. So I hope that there's a direct connection with our small businesses. And as you mentioned, possibility for rental and how mortgage payment, I'm sure that you're also thinking about this, but as Ms. Grenchen said before, I've heard so many people that, you know, one person gets sick in the household and everybody else does. And I have talked with so many individuals that there are four adults in the household working and all of them are positive and all staying at home with children and, you know, having a lot of trouble getting through unemployment. And I've been doing a lot of this with individuals that are just calling me every day. So I and again, I'm sure you're thinking about that, but I hope you have that in your mind that might be working with the Health Bureau, considering families that the household is not just one person positive and out of work, but there might be the two, you know, the mom and the dad, both out of work and struggling to get through unemployment. So that's all I want to make sure that since I'm listening to the voice of the people on a daily basis about both small businesses, really small businesses, and the families that both head of the house, you know, head of the household and the other adult are both without jobs and trying to, waiting for unemployment.
If I could address your first comment about businesses and jump a little bit ahead on the agenda. One of the reasons we think it's so important to move forward with a small business relief fund is to, and we are encouraging all businesses to apply, is to get a handle on what kind of businesses are accessing what resources, whether that's based on size. We know that this is not the first relief package that we're going to put out to the community, and understanding the need today and understanding who's able to tap into PPP or the disaster grant or even some of the smaller grants is going to be helpful to us in crafting subsequent programs.
Thank you.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Alicia, I just want to say thanks again for all your work. I'm sure you're really struggling like everybody else during this pandemic and challenging times. But I just want to reiterate again, I mean, I know you and your staff are going to do everything as expeditiously as you can, but like everyone else said, I mean, I know a lot of people that are really suffering in the small businesses I'm really worried about. And I know we're going to get, it looks like it's going to go through on Thursday, that the House is going to agreed to another $300 billion and another, I think it's $50 billion in small business loans. So that's a plus. But again, anything that I think I can do, and I think I can speak to all of us as far as expediting it, like if we even need to have special meetings, I'm not sure if that can occur, but whatever it takes, because I think it is, we all know that it's just so important that we just get the needed resources and especially money to those in need at this point. So thanks again and be well.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for Ms. Carner regarding Bill Number 10? Mr. Callahan?
Ms. Carner, so on the city website, the businesses can sign up for this?
So that's the next substantial amendment resolution. But yes, that is going to be posted for access tomorrow. It is not a race to the finish line. This is something that will remain up for a while, unlike some other programs. We do not want people to crash our website. We are not working on a first-come, first-served basis. Yeah, warning, JK. And so it is a, it will be a fillable PDF form that people can download, complete, and then email to us. So I urge patience, and, you know, marathon, not a sprint.
And they can find that in under your department?
Yeah, there also is links under our COVID website. We also are sending it out in a lot of different ways. There is also an English and a Spanish application process, and then our website can be translated as well.
I think it's on the web, it's on the regular website plus Facebook and Twitter too.
We'll put it out on all of the, yeah, you know, all of the channels, yeah, throughout the next, you know, I would say week or so.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith? Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye. Sorry.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Liquid Fuels Fund Budget, Bill 11, 2020, is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget for 2020. Bill 12, 2020 is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the above-cited Municipal Records Retention Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of police department public records as stated in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Community Development Block Grant Action Plan Amendment for fiscal year 2019 for the City of Bethlehem for the period from January 1st, 2019 to December 31st, 2019 is hereby approved, and that the Mayor is authorized to provide the necessary assurances and certifications to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and to submit the fiscal year 2019 Action Plan Amendment for HUD approval. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Resolution passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Paul & Company, Inc. for work related to the 2020 Curb Ramps Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem encourages the Mayor's Administration to investigate feasible options for helping to protect the survival of our residences, local businesses in response to the COVID-19 health emergency, including working closely with the federal and state government, financial institutions, educational institutions, and nonprofits to identify and publicize economic assistance options. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
I originally brought this resolution forward for the March 17th meeting. Obviously, we couldn't vote on it because we didn't have a quorum, and then we didn't have a meeting at 2 weeks ago. But I think priority number one has obviously been public health since this situation started to unfold. And I want to thank the administration, I want to thank the mayor, and I want to thank Mr. Novotnik and Ms. Wenrick for obviously their tireless work and, you know, involving every department in the efforts that we heard about. What this resolution was about, or is about, is, you know, what's kind of the second priority. And I think what we need to do is we need to, as a city, just kind of commit ourselves to, you know, the understanding and planning for the economic and social consequences of this pandemic on our businesses and our residents. It's, you know, we need to make a statement that we're going to be creative about coming up with citywide initiatives to help deal with kind of the short and long-term consequences here. I think in the past month, we've gotten off to a good start. Ms. Carner talked before, earlier, about utilization of the CDBG funds for our businesses. I know the mayor has announced delaying deadlines for some of our taxes and things like that. And I think that we need to do more of that. And I think that people are going to look to us, and it really is our role. A lot of times, you know, city government, it's completely understandable. We look at, like, what's in front of us. Like, did we pick up the leaf? Did we, you know, move the snow? Did we fix the pothole? And those things are absolutely important. But this pandemic has also kind of blown open, you know, just how many citizens we really do have that live paycheck to paycheck. And even if they have jobs and they work full time, they aren't necessarily secure economically. And I think that, you know, those things have far-reaching implications for our community. Obviously, solving every problem does not fall on city government. And, you know, we just need to work with our school districts, our, you know, nonprofit community, private business, and other levels of government. But we need to play the leading role. We need to play the organizing role as a voice to bring everybody together who is needed to solve these community issues. And I'll just give you one example, and then, you know, I will certainly answer any questions. But, you know, last year we did our citywide communication survey. And, you know, one of the things, and I've been meaning to talk about those results for a couple of months now, but we've had different meetings with, you know, busy agendas, and obviously we haven't met in the last, you know, 6 weeks. But one of the big recommendations in there is how we need to make sure that we have community-wide broadband for all of our citizens. And before, it was something that people would look at and say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Is that city government's role? But, I mean, when you look at what we've seen over the last several weeks about the amount of people that don't have, you know, broadband connections and the implications, not just for school, but for, like, our healthcare system. People are unable to do video visits. They're unable to call into their doctors sometimes, and then that makes them have to leave their house to go places and potentially get other people infected and things like that. We could talk about all those different indirect kind of results, you know, all night long. But the bottom line is that we need to be at the center of the creative solutions. And we need to be the ones, and, you know, it's not going to happen today, it's not going to happen tomorrow. And like I said, I think the administration has done a good job so far trying to think about how we can be creative about these type of things. But these type of kind of community-wide issues or community-wide problems are the ones that, you know, I think people are looking to us to say, you know, we don't have to provide all the answers, but we need to play a role. And this resolution is about committing the city to play that role and to invest in spending our time and our money and our energy in coming up with those creative solutions that will, you know, understand and help deal with the consequences of this pandemic. Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Obviously, in a time where there is much uncertainty on not only an individual and family level, as well as small to medium and large businesses, but on a government and institutional level, I think any effort that we can take as city council to show that we're supportive of what the challenges ahead will be is a good move. And I think this is definitely one of those signs that shows that we, as city council and city government, are taking those efforts seriously. Are there any other questions or comments regarding Resolution 10D? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Reynolds. I have some information too that I'd like to pass on everybody. As a teacher at Northeast Middle School, I was absolutely shocked when I heard the data that the school district, with all the online and Schoology and Zoom meetings and all that stuff, the school district went out and bought some additional hotspots, and they also made an agreement with RCN and Service Electric to provide free internet availability to kids. And out of the 700 to 50 to 800 kids we had in Northeast, which services, you know, one of the biggest lower income areas of the city, Marvin and Pembroke, we only had 8 children out of all those kids that didn't have access to the internet. So I thought that was an amazing job on the part of the school district, and I want to thank them for doing everything they did to get these kids connected so they can continue to learn. So with that being said, I support this 100%. I agree with Mr. Reynolds. It's very important, especially moving forward in the future, that we have people connected in the city of Bethlehem. So thank you.
Dr. Van Hoorn?
I just want to say that I agree that universal broadband has been pushed forward almost as something, as a municipality, I think we need to understand and make available to our citizens. In fact, the mass testing site up in Wilkes-Barre, you can't even access it unless you have the internet. And I think this has just shown us how the broad disparity in access that we have. And I hope that we can put this as a priority as a city for our citizens. And I thank you, Mr. Reynolds, and I want to work with you on making it happen.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other questions or comments from members of council regarding Resolution 10D? Ms. Cramson-Smith?
I'll just add briefly that I totally agree with this. I think it's vitally necessary to the basic existence of many, individuals and families, as we've seen through this pandemic. I can attest to that, the shock that seeing with the kids in my school district, that while they're fortunate that they all have iPads, many do not have internet. And while Service Electric and RCN are providing it, it's very, it's small, and it's not really doing the job for some of the kids. And it's really caused a lot of emotional trauma for them. So I'm hoping as a city that, and a community, we can make this work so that we can alleviate some of the emotional distress that it's causing for people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey-Smith. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a sublease agreement for Ilk's Mill at Monocacy Park between the City of Bethlehem and the Appalachian Mountain Club and Nonprofit Corporation and such other documents as may be necessary. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem urges the United States Congress to enact without delay the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019. And be it further resolved that the Bethlehem City Council expresses gratitude to our congressional representative, Susan Wild, for having become a co-sponsor of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. Be it further resolved that the Bethlehem City Council urges other Pennsylvania municipalities to similarly call on their federal representatives to co-sponsor the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
I just want to thank the AC and also Citizens Climate Lobby, specifically Martha Christine. The AC has been talking about this at several meetings, and I had a conversation with Ms. Christine about it going back to 2019. And the bill currently has over 80 sponsors in the House, including our own Congresswoman Susan Wild. And once again, I just want to thank Ms. Christine, Citizens Climate Lobby, and EAC, and the AC for bringing this to our attention. Thank you.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 438 High Street to replace an existing picket fence, construct a trash and recycling enclosure, and extend a bluestone walk to meet the sidewalk. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
A certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 29 East 3rd Street to replace four exterior lights and add new light fixtures. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with WexCon Inc. for work related to the Linden Street Storm Sewer Replacement Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with CMR Construction, Inc. for work related to the Drexel Heights Pressure Improvements Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10K.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with LB Industries, Inc. for general construction work related to the wastewater treatment plant, barge, screen, and detritus replacement project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10L.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Suburban Water Technology, Inc. for work related to the Shady Lane Public Well Water System Manganese Reduction Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-M.
Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Community Development Block Grant Action Plan Amendment for Fiscal Year 2019 to the City of Bethlehem for the period of January 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019 is hereby approved, and that the Mayor is authorized to provide the necessary assurances and certifications to U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and to submit the FY 2019 Action Plan Amendment for HUD approval. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Waldron and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. That's 7-0. Moving on to new business. Is there any new business for members of the council? Mr. Colon?
Thank you. I just want to thank the Bethel Medical Reserve Corps. We had all been forwarded a copy of a memo from County Executive McClure about 2 weeks ago. It was about two volunteers from the Medical Reserve Corps who had come up to Greysdale to volunteer. I work at Greysdale full-time, as most of you know. Dr. Van Wert spends a lot of time in the building also, and that's greatly appreciated. And, you know, moving forward, I just wish everybody the best, personally and professionally. I see it every day at work, what the impact is of individuals and families as we deal with COVID-19. And I encourage everyone who's listening to this via YouTube or whatever other methods to continue getting their news and their information from reliable outlets, and ask everybody to just follow the guidelines. As Kristen touched on, over 300 people are positive here in the city of Bethlehem, but over 75,000 residents are impacted. Nobody in the community is not touched by COVID-19. And if everybody can't continue to patiently follow the guidelines and do what we need to do, it's just going to keep going from there. So that's my 2 cents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Ms. Cramsey Smith?
I just want to say again, before we end, a huge thank you to everybody in the community that's been really working hard and doing what they can to help us during these trying times. I mean, this is certainly unprecedented and challenging times, and as they say, during times like this, we really need to look for the helpers. And I think that I know for myself and many other people, it's been so comforting to see so many helpers within the city and community of Bethlehem, especially the department heads, the employees, and the citizens. I know so many citizens that are doing things on an individual basis, like making masks and getting food for those that are elderly, to those on a more macro level, like people within our community and groups. And I applaud those helpers because that is really comforting at this time. And I just want everybody to continue to be safe and be well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cramsey-Smith. Mr. Callahan?
I just want to acknowledge and say hello to our solicitor, Mr. Spurk. He's been sitting there very quiet. And,
just how we like our solicitor. I do want to say thank you to our ID department, to Rick and JP, who sat with us this evening, who put this program together for us to meet virtually and allow for public comment to continue. And all the employees of City Hall who are putting in extra effort, extra diligence to continue services as uninterrupted as possible in a time where people can feel very isolated and alone. I've had some opportunities to be out in the community, whether it's at the grocery store, walking in the neighborhood with my family, and see instances of people who are going out of their way to be extra helpful, extra courteous to strangers in a time where it really takes all of us to make a little bit extra effort in order to step up and be part of the solution. And I'm seeing that time and time again, and it really is a reminder that we do live in a great town, in a great community. So I thank everyone for joining us this evening, and what will likely be our new normal for a few meetings to continue our remote viewings. It's nice to see everyone's faces, and unless anyone has anything else they'd like to offer, I thank you all for joining us this evening. This meeting is adjourned.
Good job.